T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen up, San Diego.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the end of the workday, but Gwen and Chris is just getting started. New year, same Gwen and Chris.
Well, you don't need a shrink to tell you that this guy's a raving psycho.
With Tony Quinn Jr.
He's supposed to say that, but on the other hand, don't try to jive me, brother. Like, you're not pulling a banana
not
in the tailpipe.
And Chris Ello.
Players you can go to on his bench. See, Psycho came in there. Seiko, Pulliam had a nice... I didn't mean to call him Psycho.
Gwen and Chris help you get home from work. Now on 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome in to the happy hour.
Hello.
Gwen and Chris, 6:04 on the clock. The happy hour is our last hour of the show where things kind of get a little kooky sometimes because we usually hand the last half of the show off to Scraby. So, nevertheless, we got a national championship game going right now, and it's off to a good start. 7-7 right now. Clemson took the early lead. LSU tied it in their last possession. Clemson's about at midfield right now and trying to get an end zone.
Well, you know, it's interesting because LSU, of course, is unstoppable, scored 49 points.
That's all I've heard the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, 49 points in the first half against Oklahoma, but they're not playing Oklahoma in this game. And you look at the first three possessions for LSU, they got 20 yards.
Yeah.
That's it. They punted three times. Fortunately for LSU, Trevor Lawrence off to a little bit of a slower start. And LSU's doing a pretty good job stopping Travis Etienne, the rushing game for Clemson. So Clemson got the 7-0 lead, and then Joe Burrow, after his team had been held to like 20 yards for the game, reached back and threw a 52-yard bomb to Ja'Marr Chase to tie the game 7-7. So, you know, it's the same thing we talked about with the pros. I mean, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships, that old saying. But the winner of this game is going to be the one that plays the best defense. And right now they're both playing all right on defense. It's not just a track meet going up and down the field like everybody expected it to be as they've now reached the end of the first quarter.
That's usually how these championship games go, whether
it's in
college or whether it's in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The defense usually is a tick ahead of the offense early on. Now, the good offense make their adjustment, and then things start to open up. But it can be expected, though, that – most championship games are a defensive struggle. They are an offensive struggle, I should say. Offenses tend to struggle in championship games. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the defense has a lot of time to prepare and come up with different schemes.
And I think
that
it's
gives
easier,
them an advantage.
I think in a big type pressure, nervous type situation, and nobody can say that they're not at least a little nervous playing in a championship game. You're just lying. So, to me, it's always easier to execute on defense when you're nervous in football as opposed to executing on offense. You actually have to throw it, catch it, block it. Defense, you just have to run, find a ball, and tackle the guy.
There's a reason.
So, it's a little – it just lends itself to defense having a little of an edge, I think.
There's a difference. I mean, when we're talking offense and getting – oh, man, I lost my train of thought. Never mind.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
Oh, no!
All right. Just put yourself in the promos.
Good
MLB
point.
Network.
You just put me in the promo by reminding them.
MLB Network, Eric, somebody ought to send this to Eric Hosmer. Honestly,
yes,
if I was Eric Hosmer, I would take this and I would pin it on my locker.
This
is
my
new
chip. I
would look at it all year long, and this would be the biggest chip I've ever had. MLB Network did a debate tonight. Was this tonight, Scraby, or over the weekend?
It was over the weekend.
Over the weekend, okay. And the question was, who is the top first baseman in MLB right now?
Not a bad question at all.
Fair question.
Yeah.
They listed 26 first basemen. There's only 30 teams. They listed 26 first basemen. Eric Hosmer was not one of them. He didn't even get to the cut of 26, let alone be in the top 10. That wasn't even a possibility because you couldn't even vote for him because he wasn't even a – you'd have to write him in as a candidate.
That's just disrespectful.
That's disrespectful.
I'm going to assume that it was an accident.
That's what I thought, too.
26 of them? Like,
you get 26
almost
guys
every
on
first baseman.
Did the interim just get like, I can't.
I don't know who the rest of these guys are.
I don't think they could have left him out on – I mean, I think they left him out on purpose only because – all 26 guys are listed in alphabetical order. So it's like somebody took the time to alphabetize all these names. They must have looked at every first baseman and then said, okay, we have to put Jose Abreu first. Jesus Aguilar, he was the guy from the Brewers who got traded to Tampa and sat on the bench the rest of the season. I mean, I'm not going to go down the whole list, but
who's the most undeserving person on the list, you guys think?
Last year?
Yeah.
Probably Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah, he's up there.
I would think.
What about Brandon Belt? That's a random one.
No, he's a legit major league first baseman. I mean, look, all of these guys on this list are pretty good players. I'm not knocking the players. I'm just saying Hosmer, if you're going to list all the first basemen, you can't leave him out. He's the first baseman.
Especially if you're doing an alphabetical order.
You're listing 26 guys, and you're going to just say, what, Eric Hosmer doesn't quite make it?
That's just
I mean, if I would, you know, look, if I'm Eric Hosmer, I'm not going to give it to him personally because he might take a swing at me. But I think that he ought to have a copy of this, and he ought to blow it up, not too big, but just blow it up a little bit.
Just a reminder to himself.
Just a little reminder, a chip on the shoulder. Hey, they don't even think I'm a first. They don't even think I'm a major league first baseman.
Does Albert even play first?
Albert Pujols? Not really.
Doesn't he DH most likely?
I think so. Yeah, he's on the list.
Eric Thames, he was a guy.
Eric Thames is part-time player, too. Yeah, I mean, they got some part-time guys on here. Daniel Vogelbach, I mean, put some decent numbers up, but I honestly can't tell you what team he put them up for. I think it was Seattle.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Trying to remember.
As you said, it is Seattle. You're right.
Yeah, but anyway, G-Man Choi, Tampa Bay again. I mean, again, G-Man Choi belongs on the list. I'm not knocking him. He's a first baseman in Major League Baseball.
All first basemen
belong on the list. So he's on the list. So Eric Hosmer should be on the list, too.
Oh,
that's
man.
The whole point of this thing. So yeah, Hosmer's got to put this on his wall somewhere and just kind of remember that they omitted him from a list of first basemen in Major League Baseball. That's not kind.
You know, that's been kind of a little bit of a theme with some of the Padres players. When Buster only listed the top third baseman in baseball, Manny Machado wasn't on the list.
That was
on the shortstop list.
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't. Mm-mm.
Tommy Pham made the outfielder list.
Tatis was, I think, honorable mention.
So was Manny Machado.
Really?
Yes, Manny Machado.
I'm not saying really towards you. I'm saying really towards the list.
Thomas was like, what? Me? I didn't say anything.
Tommy Pham made the list.
I remember the list of third basemen because we talked about it last week, and I mean,
and that
all
was
the
only
guys on
and that was
were,
only 10 third basemen.
It was only
too,
10,
by.
Right? He wasn't admitted from a list of 26 third basemen like Hosmer was.
Actually, we got some news last Friday when you guys were out about some of the Padres that were able to sign contracts without going to arbitration. So Kirby Yates got $7 million. Now the one that surprised a lot of people was Austin Hedges getting $3 million. And I don't know where you guys stand.
Avoiding arbitration.
Yeah, avoiding arbitration.
That's what the going rate is for a guy with his time, defensive numbers, and offensive numbers. It could have been a lot higher if his offensive numbers were better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he'd be a lot more expensive if he could hit over 180.
But $7 million for Kirby Yates is pretty spot on. Maybe a tad under.
I don't even know what's spot on anymore. The numbers are just so, you know, it's like video
gigantic,
game. Yeah, they're just so big.
I think that number's right about, you know, they settled at the midpoint, so that's probably what the going rate was for.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm just glad Kirby's staying and there's no worry. You don't have to be concerned about losing him, right?
Yeah.
The thing that's also happening in baseball right now, all of these players keep getting signed, right? All of these Mookie Betts, Arenado got signed. All of these guys get signed, and then everybody talks about they're going to trade them. So it'll be interesting to see if anything happens between now and the start of spring training. But, I mean, everything I've read says, like, Arenado's as good as gone from Colorado. Is that just too much internet noise, or are they really trying to shop him after signing him to a $26 million deal?
When there's this much smoke, I have to believe some of this is true.
Yeah.
It still is mind-boggling why you would sign him last year and then 1 year later you're completely ready to move on from it. But yeah. It sounds like it is something that the Cardinals.
Mookie Betts is the same thing. Francisco Lindor just got signed by the Indians.
I actually heard.
And all you keep hearing is that they can't wait to trade the guy.
I actually heard that the Arenado thing is more likely to happen than Betts or Lindor. So
yeah.
We'll see how that happens. We got a little bit more than a month left before pitchers and catchers report. So
right. We're
going to step away, take a break. When we come back, Jay Hare had, and by Jay Hare, I mean Jerry Harrison Jr., Spectrum Sportsnet LA, had some really good things to say about the suspension and some of the things that came down today involving the Astros. We will speak to him next. But first, let's take a look at traffic with Sudi.
Hey, gang, I remind you, we are all familiar with what it's like to live through a wildfire, especially here in Southern California. Right now, Australia needs our help.
Yeah.
The wildlife has been hit hard, and we are partnering with the San Diego Zoo, the zoo collecting monetary donations that will save koalas and other countless victims devastated by the Australian wildfires. You can make a donation by heading to our website at 973thefansd.com. I don't know if those fires are ever going to stop in Australia. I'm sure they will, but my goodness,
so. It's
been just devastating.
Have you
long now?
First off, I'm stunned that I learned something about Australia that I never thought I would know. But did you know there's a million feral camels running around Australia?
Feral camels.
That is something
yes.
I had never thought about.
I read an article over the weekend because they're all trying to find water, but I had no idea that camels were on Australia or in Australia. They were brought to Australia in the 1800s for transportation through the deserts. But
all due respect, Scravy, this is more information that I don't need.
I thought that was fascinating that there's camels in Australia.
Yeah, not just camels. Feral camels.
Well, yeah, they're wild camels. They're wild camels. But anyway, animals have been incredible. They've just been decimated.
You feel sorry for everybody and all the people who've lost property, but the animals, I mean, they don't. I mean, they're just all they
that
do
is their
run.
Home. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, their home is what's being devastated. So, go to our website, make a donation, do what you can to help. All right, I want to get. Friday, Scraby did a show. Did you hear about that, Tony?
I did.
We were both away. Coach filled in for us admirably, I understand,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
in the afternoon slot.
He was great.
But that meant somebody had to do the coach's show from noon to 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that turned out to be Braden Suprenant,
mm-hmm.
Paul Reindl,
mm-hmm.
and you.
Yes.
Yes. Did the two of them want to just wring your neck by the end of the day? I'm curious.
No, I left early, so they may have taken shots on me.
You left early?
Well, I had to leave at 2:30 so I could get Coach prepared for the show.
Uh-huh.
So they may have just taken all that time in the last half hour to take shots at me. But it was great. I really truthfully did get a lot of compliments from listeners.
Good.
That we held it down pretty well. So hopefully we get another chance, Mr. Klug.
Oh, all right.
Call out the boss.
You've been put on notice, Adam.
You have.
If you're listening.
All right. Well, good job, Scraby. I'm
Thank
glad
you.
It went well on Friday, and we'll look forward to the next time. Earlier, we caught up with Jerry Harrison Jr., Spectrum Sportsnet, L.A., former Padre, former teammate of Tony's, and now does some broadcasting for the Dodgers television network. And the Dodgers definitely feel some type of way what happened
Indeed,
today, what
do.
Went down today in Major League Baseball, the suspensions handed down by MLB to the Houston Astros, the subsequent firings of A.J. Hinch and Jeffrey Luhnow. And Jerry Harrison Jr., I thought, had some great points that he made with us earlier. Speaking of the Dodgers, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline from Spectrum Sports, Dodger television broadcaster, and our good friend, Mr. Jerry Harrison Jr., is on the program. And, Jerry, your comments, your thoughts on the penalties that were levied today by Major League Baseball?
Well, I'm still trying to kind of digest everything. You know, last time we talked, you know, we talked about the allegations. Or were they true? If they were going to be true, what kind of penalties they would get? You know, obviously now having AJ and the GM be suspended for the year, and then since then being fired by Mr. Crane, the owner of the Astros, I think the penalty is pretty harsh. But the one thing I'm really concerned about is not so much the Astros. It's really the Dodger players, the Dodger manager, Dave Roberts. You know, we're talking about legacies being altered. Anytime you have, teams cheating, which that's what they did, using espionage, using technology that is off the field. It's not even on the field of battle. It's off the field and using it to your advantage. That concerns me. And you know, what could have been? You know, really, you know, if the Dodgers would have just played the Astros straight up, I go back to Clayton Kershaw having a 4-1 lead in Houston. And then the Astros were on everything.
Yeah,
I mean, everything that Kershaw was throwing. They were laying off pitches. They were squaring everything up. That bothers me. Darvish, game three, where the Astros were on everything that Yu Darvish was throwing. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that type of stuff is game-changing and legacy-changing. And, you know, I feel bad for Andre Ether, Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Justin Turner, and all the people that are affiliated with the Dodger organization because they were cheated.
Jerry, we kind of lost you right as you started to talk about some of the legacies that were affected by what the Astros were doing, which is cheating.
Yeah, and that's it, Tony. You know, you have a chance to play. You know, make no mistake about it, the Astros are a great team. Dodgers are a great team, but you always want to be able to play a team straight up. And there's something, you know, when you're on the field of battle, you know, when you're stealing signs because the other team is giving you information, let's say if you're on second base and they're flashing the signs and they're dumb enough to hide them or not hide them, then yes, you're going to use that to your advantage. But when you're taking that type of competition and taking it off the field of battle and using technology, you know, that is beyond next level. And again, these types of things to cheat, you know, you didn't allow your team to face the Dodgers straight up. And again, legacies have been tarnished. You know, Clayton Kershaw's looked at a certain way because he'd never won a World Series championship. Justin Turner, you know, Andre Ether, Kenley Jansen, so on and so forth. These guys are looked upon a certain way. So these are life-changing things. Dave Roberts, manager, been to two World Series and lost them both. So who's to say if they were playing them straight up, mano a mano, they could have been the two-time champions or obviously, you know, winning the 2017 World Series against the Astros. So legacies have been altered.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think we think about the big picture so often we forget about a guy like Andre Ether, who that was his last appearance with the ball club. Yep. He doesn't get a chance to ever possibly fulfill that dream of winning a World Series title. I got to ask you about Alex Cora, because clearly he seems to be smack dab in the middle of it. And correct me if I'm wrong, it would seem that there's no choice really but for Boston to move on from him as manager of the team, especially in light of what Jim Crane did with the Astros.
Yeah, you know, Tony, you know, as you know, I've played for a lot of different teams, organizations, and I've come across a lot of guys, and I consider Alex Cora to be a friend. Yeah. You know, we were teammates in 2011. We came up, you know, playing against each other. You know, myself, Dave Roberts, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, we were all ran in the same circles, you know, coming up through the minor leagues and coming up in the big leagues. So, you know, seeing this happen to him and hearing what he did really surprises me, because Alex, I considered to be probably the best teammate I ever had as far as watching guys on the bench and seeing guys tip their pitches from the mound. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he would see a pitcher and he'd see these guys tip his pitches. Wow, this guy's really talented. You know what I'm saying? And I've always said, if I ever ever wanted to manage or had the opportunity to manage, I wanted Alex to be a part of my staff. We talk about that. Because he was so gifted. And for him to kind of take it, I mean, 10 steps further, and for them to use video technology, I mean, that's something that, you know, wasn't discussed when we were playing together in 2011. It wasn't even a thought.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, years go by, and maybe you're trying to get that extra edge and using the video now to your advantage. It just, it's hard to hear and to see, because I know how hard Alex worked. I know how hard A.J. Hinch worked, But again, on the flip side, I know how hard Clayton Kershaw has worked, and Dave Roberts has worked, and so on and so forth. So it's a shame, but you're right, Tony. You know, with AJ now being, you know, suspended for a year, now being fired, you got to think Alex would be the next guy.
Jerry Harrison Jr. joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. So much appreciation to you, Jerry, for your time on this subject, because I love hearing you. You kind of explain it and having the insight that you have. Just real quick, are you the penalty that was also handed down as the Astros losing a first and second round pick in the next two drafts? Do you think it's going to have any? Because we talked about this last week, you know, kind of whether the punishment should have some sort of impact on the Astros as an organization. Do you think first and second round picks for the next 2 years can really affect the Astros' ability to go forward at all?
I really don't think so, because you got a guy in Mr. Crane who's got a boatload of money. So they can go out and sign free agents to kind of soften the blow of not being able to get a first or second rounder. You know, I thought maybe, you know, as I thought further along, possibly not be able to have a draft 1 year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got to remember, Major League Baseball is different than the NFL and the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Your draft picks in the NFL and NBA instantly can impact your roster or your team, you know. But in Major League Baseball, it doesn't really affect your team unless it's, you know, an impact college pitcher like a Steven Strasburg. Usually you draft guys that will help your team 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road. So they can soften the blow by spending their money.
Yeah, and that's not even counting the fact that they can make trades to get international money to sign some of these guys who aren't in the States. Let me ask you this, because all the focus has been on upper management. How do you think some of these Astro players that are still here, still in Houston, and will be there for the foreseeable future, how do you think they're going to be perceived by their peers around the league?
If they're not going to be perceived well.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's all over Twitter. You know, Aaron Judge, who's one of our superstars in the game, you know, I'm sure he feels he was robbed of an MVP. You know, Altuve won the MVP. He was second. You know, he just took down a post he had with Jose Altuve. You know, so I'm sure that these players feel like, you know, they were kind of cheated. You know, we talk about the Dodgers. How about the Yankees?
Yeah.
Who lost to the Astros.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure those players, and that I know that organization's up in arms. So listen, I'm at the Dodgers fantasy camp, you know, looking at Bob Guerin, who's the Dodgers bench coach, Ebel, who's the Dodgers now third base coach, and Dino is, and Andre Ether, he's also with us. Just looking at them, they were a little bit shocked. But you can see the anger that they had. And next week, Tony, I'm going to be at Yankees fantasy camp. And I know those guys are going to be upset and up in arms, because there's nothing wrong with being on the field of battle, and if somebody gains edge while, you know, on the field, somebody's tipping their pitches, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you take that type of fight off the field, there's a huge issue.
Jerry, I think you did a great job of explaining this whole situation, not just from the Astros' perspective, which is what everybody else is looking at, but from the teams that are affected by what happened. And basically the Dodgers, the Yankees, the rest of these teams that got beat, the message to those teams is just hang with you. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do, and you just got to hang in there. Jerry, thanks so much for your time, man. Appreciate you joining us today. Great stuff, as always, and have fun at the fantasy camp. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, guys, you take care.
Thanks so much. That was great. Jerry Harrison Jr. on the SDCCU Fan Hotline from Spectrum Sportsnet LA. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. All right, there you have it. I think that's pretty good stuff to take with you on that asterisks situation.
That's going to be floating around.
It's just
going
to have to be the asterisks for a long, long time. It's going to be interesting because those players are going to show up to spring training in a month or so, and can't imagine that every question is not going to be about that, right?
I wonder what that vibe is going to be like when you pull up on spring training that first day, everybody's reporting.
Yeah, you're all happy. It's a new season, and...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But you know that's coming. You know it's coming.
Of course. Send Scraby down there. He'll cause him some havoc.
Oh, you know he'll come in right in there and ask the question.
I would.
So how do you feel about you guys' suspension and getting cheat for cheating?
You don't want to answer me? I'll go get the next guy.
Do you think you'll have a career after this?
He'd have no etiquette to get into question.
First thought that came down in your head as soon as you heard the news, and then you just punch me.
That's exactly what would happen. You'd get bummed.
They'd be like, really? Right now you're going to ask me about that?
Well, we didn't let Scraby talk to any Houston Astros over the weekend, but we did let him talk to some fans at FanFest.
Oh, yeah.
How all that turned out
God
when
bless
we come back.
Heart
my
letting...
goodness. So stick around. The happy hour gets about as happy as we can get it coming up in just a second. It's Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
Sadly, our show is starting to wind down. We have a terrific segment coming up for you. Scraby with a mic at Petco Park, talking to fans. That's what we'll leave it at right now.
I cannot believe the Padres allowed that.
I can't believe it either.
They must have been asleep at the
wheel.
Before
I turn it over to Scraby, however, we need to check traffic with Sudi.
Well, guys, we got a couple of problem spots here on northbound 15. Car slammed into the center divide just south of Miramar Way. CHP running a traffic rate to get a tow truck through. Meantime, further north on the 15, careful of a large plank of wood dropped south of Via Rancho Parkway. It's in the fast lane just before the HOV entrance. CHP cleared that multi-car wreck south 125 south of the 8. That traffic there finally picking up. And downtown drivers, watch for a Christmas tree dropped in the number 2 lane northbound 5 south of Old Town Avenue. Likely our final one of the season. Sue DeVincy with Quinn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, everybody, be safe driving home. Watch out for logs in the middle of the highway as well as Christmas trees.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Scraby, we unleashed you down at Petco Park with a mic. How did it go?
It went really well. It went really well. I'm a little
nervous. I mean, by everybody else's standards, how do you think it went?
I think it went decent.
Okay.
Decent. I think it went really well, but I'm a little, for anybody who's, if I ever approach you out there at these Padres events or whatever, just
don't
know
be weirded
that,
out.
Yeah, just know that I am as nervous as all can be to even walk up to you and say anything to you. So.
Just shake his hand.
I have a better suggestion for you.
Uh-oh.
What? Scraby comes up to you at an event with a microphone.
Run!
Well, I sat next to
God
the...
God gave you those two legs, didn't he? Get out of there!
Save that clip. So, Padres Fan Fest was actually really, really...
It seemed, like the young kids say nowadays, lit.
It was lit. There was a ton of people there. The Manny Machado line, I said it earlier, it was insanely long. If you didn't get to Manny Machado quick, you were not going to get to see him. But all the lines were long. You know, a lot of people on the field, a lot of people at Park in the Park. So I kind of hung out next to the inflatable Friar. He was about 20 feet tall. And just kind of looked for some Padres fans. And I walked up to a group of people who were all decked out in Padres gear. And I asked, anybody want to comment on Padres radio, you know, about the Padres? And none of them wanted to do it. So I talked... one guy into it, his name is Gabe, and here is my visit with Gabe.
We're here at FanFest with Gabe. He is all decked out in Padres gear. He's got the hat on. He's got the floppy hat on. He's got the... What year jersey is this?
I'm not sure. It's a throwback. I think it's the 1980s.
And why did you wear it today?
It's the only one I got.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a sweet jersey. Now, how long have you been a Padre fan for?
Since I was born, day one.
day one, and how old are you now?
22.
22, okay. So what is your biggest thing that you're looking forward to this year at the Padres?
Machado and Tatis carrying us to the playoffs.
Okay, I like that, I like that. What is the biggest piece you think the Padres need before they start the season?
We still need to add some more pitching to pretty much our bullpen.
Last thing for me is, how are you? Are you having a good time at FanFest?
I am. It's been a blast. I was going to get in line for Machado, but it looks a little too long for me. So
it is. It is a very long line, but you should go get it.
Yeah, well, I'll think about it. Yep.
My boy Gabe.
First, yeah, thanks to Gabe.
First, quick question: why did you decide to hang by the inflatable fryer?
Because I don't know. There's just a lot of people there, and I wasn't going to walk too far. It was right
comfortable
in front of the
next
stage.
To inflatables.
Yeah, some comfortable next to inflatables. Thank
you. He set you up.
He did. Dang it! I didn't even see that one coming! But thank you, Gabe, for answering my questions and everything. He was fired up. He was fired up. His friends were fired up.
He sounded like he was having a good time.
A lot of people love, whenever their friends are being asked questions, they love to try to like make funny faces at them while they're doing it to get them to laugh and all that stuff. And some people even think it's live when I'm doing it. And they're like, oh, what, are we live? Are we live? No, we're not. All right, so the next
That one went pretty well, though.
Yeah.
I would say very little incident there.
Yeah, very little incident. Now, this one takes a little bit of a turn because these three young Padres fans, one of them did something that he thinks is one of the coolest things he's ever done, and I agree, and it has to do with using the restroom. So let's check in with the trio.
Do I want to hear this?
Yes.
I'm here with three Padres fans at FanFest. I have Trevor, I have Elijah, and I have Monica. Now, Trevor, what have you done so far at FanFest?
We've gone through the field, gone through the visitor's locker room, gone through the field maintenance room, which is actually much cooler than it sounds like it would be.
Why is it much cooler? I've never been in the field maintenance room. I need to go.
They've got all the tools they use, all the power equipment, and different dirts and sands they have that they use on the field. It's
quite intricate. Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, did you guys, when you were walking in the field, feel like it was surprisingly, the surface was surprisingly hard? Yeah. No? Yeah? No? Okay, I guess I'm the only one. You know, I'm the weirdo here. But Elijah did something pretty cool. He went out and went into the visitor's locker room, and he actually used the bathroom, I believe.
Yeah.
How is that, knowing that you're using the bathroom where other star baseball players have used the bathroom?
That was my immediate thought, because it's the bathroom that's right behind the dugout. So I was like, I really wonder who has used this. Like, who's also peed on the seat? Like,
oh, you know what? All the names that come through town have peed on that seat. So now you need to go tell all your friends I've peed on the same toilet seat that not Manny Machado, but other stars have.
Nolan Arenado, right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Good name. Thank you for saving me there, because I named a guy who's not in the visitor locker room. Now, Monica, what is FanFest like for you?
It's fantastic.
Great. Fun. Thank you for the one-word answer.
It's awesome. For all the things that I wouldn't normally do when I come to a game, because I'm here to see the game, it was really cool to go through the Hall of Fame and, you know, walk the entire park. It's awesome.
Last thing. What is a satisfactory win total for the Padres this year? I'm going to start with you, Elijah.
It's got to be above the 80s, hopefully breaking into the 90s.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to add like 25 wins.
Hopefully.
Okay. All right. What about you, Trevor?
Yeah, I'd be happy if they're in the 80s.
In the 80s. All right. I like it. More realistic over here. So
that was the trio. I appreciate them.
Chris,
Elijah.
Your critique, please.
Going where no man has ever gone before. With his line of questioning.
I am not afraid to ask if you peed on the seat.
Clearly not.
Yeah. So
you
couldn't
name one other player in the National League? Like, not a single player
came
to
mind? It's not even strict to the National League. We had some
American. Right, you could have had an American League.
I know. I don't know why I went with... I was looking at Manny signing autographs.
Manny played for the Dodgers, so he came here to play.
So Manny did pee on the seat.
Yeah. Okay, Thomas. Thank you for getting me out of that. Now, the last two people that I talked to, Padres fans, and appreciate everyone who took the time to talk with me. But it was a father and son combo. They were all Padre'd out, and their names were Jeremiah. Both of them were named Jeremiah, so I named them Jeremiah 1 and 2, and this is my visit with them.
I'm here with two Padres fans, and thankfully for me, they're both named Jeremiah, so I don't have to do too much remembering. I'm gonna call you Jeremiah 1 and you Jeremiah 2. That Jeremiah works. 1, how are you feeling about this year's upcoming Padres team?
I'm pretty excited about this year's team. I think they made some good changes in the offseason. Curious to see what they do before the season starts, but I'm stoked. We usually see about 5 or 10 games a year, and really looking forward to what's going to happen.
Nice. Now, you both are decked out. You have the brown and gold hat. You have the brown and gold hat and a brown and gold jersey, kind of white jersey. Are you into the new uniform changes? Jeremiah, number 2.
Yeah, kind of am.
Why? What do you like about them?
I like their brown, and they went back to their, when they decided they were going to go back to their, like, old colors.
Awesome, awesome. Now, Jeremiah 2, and then I'll go back to Jeremiah 1. What are you looking forward to most in the upcoming season? Is it Tatis? Is it Machado? Is it some of the guys they traded for? Tommy Pham, Trent Grisham, people like that?
I'm looking forward to mostly, like, winning a lot, and I hope we make it to the postseason, and I think that's a lot of everything.
Yeah, that would be good. Making the postseason would be good. Now, Jeremiah 1.
Make the postseason this decade.
Yeah, that is true. Unfortunately, that is true, but they're going to try to change it in the 20s. Jeremiah number 1, how many wins would you like to see the Padres get here realistically this season?
Realistically, I'd really like to see them have a winning season and get at least, somewhere in the 80s, like low 80s.
So if they go 82 and 80, is that good enough for you?
Yeah, I'd be better, but if it's a winning season, then I'll be happy. If they're competitive throughout the whole year and play consistently with a winning season, then I think that's a huge step forward.
You just want to see them play meaningful games in September.
Yeah, exactly. Last year, the second half and first half were kind of a different story, so I'd really like to see that change.
All right, Jeremiah 1 and Jeremiah 2, thank you guys for your time today.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Go Padres.
Terrific job there, oh, Scravy.
Thank you.
You only had one little dud of a question, but everything else was...
which one was that? They're all fire questions.
Started talking about toilet questions. Seats. I think you've ventured out.
Well, and then he tried to do some math.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't work out too well.
I tried to make him 163.
He got the 83 wins, but he knew that, and he had to figure out how many losses are left for 162 games. And mine just wasn't up to the task.
My brain malfunctioned.
You came close, though.
You
83
did.
And 80. You only
you
missed
did.
It by one. That
you
wasn't
did.
Bad.
It's not bad at all, especially
for
on
you,
the fly.
I would say that was pretty impressive.
All
right. I think I'm going to try to do this more often, though. I think I'm going to go try to talk to people.
Man on the street stuff?
Yeah, sure.
We should let you loose like at Fashion Valley one day. I'd like to have a hidden camera to see the people running the other direction.
Oh my gosh.
When you approach them.
No, they're going to run at me. They're going to be like, hey,
so
look
if they go 83 and 80, no. 82 and 80, exactly.
Do you hear the wheels turning?
83
yes.
and...
I hear the wheels turning, but they're not oiled very well.
No,
it's
they're
more
not.
Like a
they're
so if they go 83 and... 80.
No. Game 163. All right.
Well, that's, you know what? He might be onto something.
He might
maybe
be.
They'll
one
be
game
a,
playoff.
They might be in a one game playoff.
That's so right.
You might have been
that's
predicting
right. That's
that.
Exactly what you were thinking.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Yeah. Too
right.
bad you didn't think of that.
What? Not only was Scraby at Petco Park interviewing folks, some of the players were
we
in town.
We did some
for
real
fans.
Stuff,
yeah.
too.
You heard from the likes of Manny Machado, Chris Paddock, Luis Patino, Drew Pomeranz. We had some sound bites for him. We're going to play those for you. Here's Chris Paddock on what I'm really excited about. No innings limit this coming season for him.
That's probably the most thing I'm excited about personally, just because, you know, the reins are off of it, man. I finally get to go out there and pitch. You know, for me individually, you know, for this team, like I said, we have a special group. You know, I learned a lot from, you know, the young pitching staff that we had last year. We got to interact with each other, even learn from the bullpen, you know, having Craig Stamm and Kirby Yates, you know, even talking to our hitters. You know, I'm very excited to be able to just go out there and pitch, you know, grab the ball every fifth or sixth day, you know, depending on what our rotation is going to be. But I'm excited, man. You know, after Christmas, after the new year, you know, everybody starts texting each other, asking how they're doing. And, we start counting down the days for spring and then, you know, for 2020 seasons.
That's hashtag facts. This is right after the new year is when guys start checking in.
Checking in with each other.
Maybe get a couple guests down to work out with you. This is when it, you know, it's starting to be go time. Once January rolls around, the off season rolls fast. Before you know it, you're in spring training. Yeah, no doubt about it. But yeah, on what Chris was talking about, I am excited about the no innings limitation. It should be special to watch.
I think he's, if it goes well, he stays healthy, and that goes without saying. You can say that for every player in the league. But, I mean, if he pitches his turn every time, there's no reason that he shouldn't be in the running for the strikeout championship this year. And, I'm not saying he's going to beat out Scherzer. I mean, Scherzer gets over 300 usually.
Yeah, he almost got there without pitching that much last year, too.
Yeah, but Paddock should be a top five strikeout guy. And, hopefully the ERA is down under 3. And you put those two things together, and you got to have a pretty nice, win-loss record to go along with it.
Yeah, you'd like to
think. Because you're going to be in the game to decide the game rather than just pitching your 5 innings and getting out of the way like you did last. What was his final record? I honestly can't remember it offhand.
I feel like he got 10.
Did he get to 10?
I feel like he did.
I mean, he pitched well enough to get to 15, but I don't think he played enough to get to
10. He was 9-7.
9-7.
3.33 ERA. Yeah. 153 strikeouts.
And that's what I was going to say. Remember, he's coming into his sophomore year, and so you hope that with the knowledge he gained last year, he can be off to an even better start this coming season, which would be hard to actually do because his start last year was really ridiculous.
Yeah, he really started off fast.
Let's go to Drew Pomeranz. This was a free agent acquisition for the Padres that at the time seemed like it was like a no big deal thing, but you start looking at this depth of the bullpen. Drew Pomeranz is a big reason why I think the Padres will have a very, very good bullpen.
I think part of it was, like I said about the team and the direction they were headed. AJ wants to win, and that's a conversation I had with them. And that was a big part of it too. I enjoyed my time here. I loved playing here. It's a great park, great city, great everything. So that played into it as well.
Yeah, that was Drew Pomeranz talking about why he chose the Padres over 5 or 6 other teams. And I think that's a very telling sign. That's a guy who's been here, was only here for a short stint, was traded, but liked it so much, we were at the top of his mind. When I say we, San Diego's at the top of his mind in terms of re-signing someplace.
Yeah. Drew Pomeranz, I mean, that bullpen right now has Pomeranz, it has Stammen, it has Matt Strom. And we didn't even get to Kirby Yates yet. So, and you mentioned it earlier, Wengenter, who at times last year showed signs like he'd be the seventh inning guy, then at other times he didn't show signs of anything. But he may not make the staff this year. I mean, I guess somebody got it. I didn't even mention Andres Munoz, who struck out 30 batters in about 8 innings last year.
Castillo, who was hurt pretty much all year long.
He get Jose Castillo back. What, he came back for one game?
Yeah.
Two-thirds of
snapped
an inning.
Snapped his ligament in his finger.
That just was tough, yeah.
So
I mean, they got a lot of guys. You know who pitched in more games last year than Jose Castillo?
Who?
Ty France. He pitched in 2 games last year.
Yeah, he did.
That's
he did.
How tough of a season it was for Jose Castillo. So, yeah, I mean, to get him back, their bullpen could be awesome.
We got more of that, but we've run out of time. So,
well, we'll play some more tomorrow.
We'll be right back at you. We'll talk about this national championship game, how it ends up turning out.
I am picking the Tigers.
Me too. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Indeed.
Tigers.
Matt Scraby, fantastic job. Thomas Andrews, I'm glad you were with us today.
Yeah, Thomas.
You know, we're rocking the glasses today. I like it. Very Clark Kentish of you. Chris Ello, as always, man.
Superman under there somewhere, Thomas.
For you Laker fans.
Somewhere.
Taking on the Cavaliers, 7:30. Make sure you tune in.
Oh, God.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Gwen and Chris, peace out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.